Let's take our Bibles and open up to 2 Timothy chapter 1 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We've been looking at this section in 2 Timothy for a couple of weeks now, where God gives us three pointers for serving God. Paul talking to his son in the faith, Timothy, trying to encourage him, knowing that Timothy's nature was a very timid nature, very shy nature. He's trying to encourage Timothy to just do what God told him to do. And sometimes it sounds so simple, and yet it's so much more difficult. And I think most of us in the room can identify with that. We know what God wants us to do. And sometimes it's just not as easy to put it into practice as it is to realize what it is He wants. And so Paul is under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, of course, but a little bit personal with Timothy, but I think this helps us as well. We'll begin reading verse number 6 and read down through verse number 8. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and now as we spend just a few moments in it, bless us, challenge us, speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse number 6, if you remember, the first pointer that Paul gave to Timothy was just, don't grow cold. It's so easy for us to take things for granted after we've been saved for a little while or after we've been doing a particular ministry for God. We lose the specialness of it, of being used by Almighty God. And so he tells Timothy there, verse number 6, stir up the gift. Stir it up. Get it back on fire. And so that was verse number 6. That was pointer number 1. Verse number 7 contained pointer number 2. We looked at this last time, and it was simply just don't chicken out. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. There is nothing to fear, nothing to be afraid of. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And so I believe we looked at least briefly at the verse in John chapter 15 where he tells us, without me ye can do nothing. But the other side of that coin is, with him we can do all things, for with God nothing is impossible. And so there's no reason for us to chicken out, no reason for us to be afraid. We want to focus in on verse number 8 tonight. And I think the key word in this verse is that one word, ashamed. And so we're going to be taking a little bit of a look at that word, ashamed. But the advice that Paul is giving to young Timothy, and remember, young Timothy is probably in his 40s at this point, but giving to the younger man, his son in the faith, is simply don't back down. Don't back down. You know, we live in a society and a culture today where there's a lot of opposition to Christian ideas, to biblical principles. The world is getting further and further away, and everything seems to be completely opposite of what the Word of God teaches us. And God is looking for a man, and God is looking for a woman, and God is looking for a young person to stand in the gap, to make a difference in society and in our culture, and to stand up for Him. And to proclaim His Word and His truth to those that have never heard it and have never heard anything else except lies and except things that are contradictory to His Word, things that will do nothing but bring His judgment on our land and in our lives. And so He's looking for some people that won't back down. Now there's three things that Paul talks about here in this verse. And the first is, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. In other words, what he's saying here is, don't be shy about being known as a Christian. You know, there's a lot of closet Christians today, but it's time to come out of the closet. In fact, it's long past time. You know, the Sodomite crowd has already done that in a big way. Amy and I were in the store the other day, and we saw ordinarily normal-looking fella, but he had 6-inch spike heels on. It was a very bright red, almost like a little girl's shoe or a shoe that you would find in a red light district late at night. And so he was declaring very loudly who he was. They're not afraid to come out of the closet, and right now they have the steering wheel of our government, not just at the federal level, but at the state level, and even more so at the local level, because when they first started coming out the closet at the federal level, they weren't getting anywhere. And so they changed their strategy to change our nation one community at a time, and have found great success. But where are the Christians in response to this? We hide. No one knows who we are because we are ashamed of the testimony of Christ. To be ashamed of just simply means to be embarrassed or apologetic about. Can you imagine being apologetic, declaring, yeah, I'm sorry, but yeah, I am a Christian, and I really don't appreciate if you could, by any chance, not do or not say. And we're so apologetic. Where's the backbone? Where's the spine? No wonder the world does not respect Christianity. You ever wonder why Christianity is the one religion that gets the black eye and the bloody nose from Hollywood? They don't ever do that with Islam. They always present Hinduism and all those Eastern mystic religions like Hinduism. They always present them in a very favorable light. Those are the heroes. Those are the way to live. But Christianity is always smeared and misrepresented and made fun of. Why is that? Because Christians don't have a backbone and are afraid to stand up for the truth and are afraid to stand up for right. We're ashamed of the testimony of Christ. I've worked in a workplace, and I remember when I hired in at the print shop in Grand Rapids, my dad worked there. My dad and my stepmom both warned me, and the phrase that my stepmom used said, they hire gutter people. Gutter people. You've heard the saying about the drunk lying in the gutter? Well, that's what she was talking about. They had some pretty rough people, and it was in the worst part of town where the shop was. And they were concerned because I had just graduated from Bible college. It's easy to be a closet Christian in a situation like that where you know people don't want to hear it. But I did my best to let them hear it and did my best to keep a Christian testimony. And they all knew who I was. And they all knew that I didn't appreciate cussing or off-color jokes when I was in earshot of it. And I got respect. As far as I could tell, they respected me. But I know some other fellas. I always liked that George worked on, he was one of the pressmen. I don't even know the guy's last name, but he was just an older fellow right at the age of retirement. And I'd walk through the press room going to break, and he'd be whistling really loudly because the presses are real loud, and the pressmen could never hear. They lost their hearing because of the noise of the presses. And so he had to whistle really loudly for himself to hear. But so it blanketed the whole shop, but he's whistling the good old hymns of the faith. And he was a good whistler. But you know, none of the guys in the shop respected his Christianity. Now, why is that? I don't know. I didn't know him that well because we never worked together. And there was another fellow. His name was Randy. They laughed at him behind his back about being a Christian. And this is the guy I talked about him once in a while where we'd have a good conversation about scriptural things in the break room. It's just the two of us. But the instant anybody else walked in the room, the conversation changed. And he would join their conversation no matter how bad of a conversation it was. You see, no backbone leads to no respect. We need to stand up for the truth. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of Christ. Don't back down. Don't be embarrassed for people to know that you're a Christian and that you stand for the truth and that you stand on God's behalf in our communities and in our families and in our schools and in our workplaces. God's looking for someone who isn't embarrassed by Him. Now, I've got a gazillion verses. We'll look at some of these anyway. Look in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse number 38. Now these are right from the mouth, this is right from the mouth of Christ. He says this to us today. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now you notice he doesn't say that he'll leave them behind when he comes back. Salvation is secure, whether we live it or not. And I think that's why so many Christians refuse to live it, and they have no spine, and they're cowardly and ashamed and embarrassed and apologetic towards Christianity when they get out in the public square. Because they have that security. Jesus says, I'll just be ashamed of them. But he is rebuking those that were ashamed of him and his word in the public square. We need to stand up for what's right. I understand what the announcers was talking, and I don't know if he's a Christian or not, or how it was presented. I didn't hear it in the football game yesterday about pro-life. And maybe not himself, but he's telling the story about the running back not being aborted. Praise God, we need more people doing that, that aren't afraid to lose their job, that aren't afraid to have people laugh at them, that aren't afraid to have negative things happen in their life because they're speaking out for God. You know, if we back down because of that, we're saying that I fear man more than I fear Almighty God in heaven. What do you suppose would have happened when Peter and John went into the temple and they healed the lame man, and then the Sanhedrin hauls them before them? What do you suppose would have happened if after they were threatened to don't ever speak in this man's name again? What do you suppose would have happened if Peter and John would have said, okay, we'll never do it again. We don't like what happened to us. We don't like you being angry with us. We don't like the risk of being arrested again. We don't like the risk of maybe losing our family business. So we'll never talk in his name again. What do you suppose would have happened? What would have happened if those first century Christians didn't have a backbone? Can you imagine living in a community where the Apostle Paul, before he was saved, lived? Where he was going into houses with arrest warrants and hauling us off to jail and even seeing some of us put to death because we would not recant our faith. Backbone. So many Christians today are ashamed of the testimony of Christ. Shy of about being known as a Christian. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. Anyone know that verse by heart? Romans 1, 16. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. He's talking about being ashamed of the testimony of Christ. And in his own testimony, written years before he wrote this to Timothy, were simply that I am not ashamed. And so what he's saying, Timothy, you don't be ashamed either. You just go out there and proclaim the gospel because it's powerful. And even though we may be afraid, and even though we may not necessarily have that courage or boldness that perhaps we should have, God says that is powerful, and so don't back down. Have some backbone and just do what you need to do. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Let the chips fall where they may, because God can and God will take care of us. But too often we just don't trust Him. We just don't trust Him, and so we're ashamed of being known as a Christian. And so we back down. God says, don't. Don't back down. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of Christ. Look in Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verses 2 and 3. You see, this isn't just New Testament. Where you suppose Israel would be if Moses had no backbone? If Moses was ashamed of the testimony of Christ when he was in Pharaoh's house. You know, the living was good. Life was easy. He had a bright and promising future of ease and prosperity and affluence. He gave it all up, didn't he? He gave it up because he wasn't ashamed to be counted with the people of God. He wasn't ashamed of the testimony of Christ. And as a result, the nation of Israel was led out of Egypt and out of the bondage. In Psalm chapter 25, verses 2 and 3. He says, O my God, this is David, of course, O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. David is informing us, and we could go to numerous verses, some written by others than David, that have the same concept. The way that we can have a backbone and the way that we can not be ashamed, the way we can have the boldness that God wants us to have, the key to it is just simply trusting. Just simply trusting God. That's what David is saying here. He says, I trust you. Don't let me be ashamed. In other words, God, do what you said you would do. You know what? God is faithful. God will do what He said that He would do for us. And so we have no reason to be spineless. We have no reason to be yellow-bellied. We have no reason to be a panty-waist about Christianity. He says, don't back down. Just stand strong and stand true and stand sure for Christ, because He will prop you up and He will hold you up and He will be that sure footing on which you need to stand. Don't back down. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of Christ. Look in Psalm 119. And maybe this is the reason why there are so many that are ashamed. Psalm 119, verse number 6. Psalm 119, verse number 6. Then shall I not be ashamed. When is that, David? Well, I'm glad you asked, he says. Here's when. When I have respect unto all thy commandments. What he's telling us here, here's the second key to not being ashamed. Here's the second key to having a backbone as a Christian. And it's just simple obedience to the commandments of God. And I wonder if there are many that have no backbone because they are disobedient to God. And they know they're disobedient to God when they're out in the public square. And so they don't want to stand up for Christ because they know they're a hypocrite. And they know that everybody looks at them and says, you're not living what you're talking about, so don't bother us with your noise. And they know they don't want to hear it because they know their life doesn't match it. You see, if you want to be bold, if you want to have backbone, you need to live according to the Word of God. And as we talked about this morning, have that blameless testimony. That blameless reputation. And so that's another key, trusting God and living the way we need to live. Isaiah chapter 45. Never mind on that one. I wrote the wrong passage down. So let's go ahead and look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're talking about not backing down by not being afraid to be known as a Christian, not being ashamed of the testimony of Christ. Two keys to being able to do that. One is just simply trusting God. The second key to doing that is simple obedience to God. But look what it says in chapter 4, verse 16 of 1 Peter. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So often when things go south, when we're trying to stand as a Christian, when people don't respond favorably towards that, when they push back against it, so often we become ashamed. We suffer as a Christian, and even though the suffering is very mild, and we go to different parts of the world and they would laugh at us even calling that suffering, because that would be a good day for them, but we're ashamed. And just that little bit of a pushback causes us to not speak up again. God says, don't let that happen. In fact, thank God for that opportunity to take a little bit of suffering on His behalf. And He's going to talk more about that back in 2 Timothy chapter 1. But the first thing He tells us about not backing down is don't be afraid to be known as a Christian. The second thing He tells Timothy here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse number 8, not only not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but don't be ashamed of me, His prisoner. In other words, the second thing He tells us about not backing down is don't be afraid to associate with other Christians. Now, going to church is one thing. But do you know that Christian who's always talking about the Lord and always praising God in public and always passing out tracts and always trying to share the gospel? You ever get embarrassed when you're around someone like that that's just so bold that they just don't know enough not to talk about it? I've known a few people like that. Sometimes we're afraid to associate with that. Now, what Paul is talking about here to Timothy is Paul's in prison. He's in prison for preaching the gospel. He doesn't expect to get out. In fact, as far as we know, he never got out of this prison. He was beheaded. And that's the only way he got out. He went to heaven instead. And Timothy is being tempted by the devil to turn his back on the apostle. Many others did. It's referenced later in the book. And Paul says, don't be ashamed of associating with me, of putting your name with mine, because I stood for Christ, and I'm going to suffer the ultimate price for having done so. You know, sometimes if we know a Christian that other people are making fun of or laughing at, we don't want to associate with that Christian. And that ought not be the case. And that's what Paul is saying here. Don't back down from your Christian brother or your Christian sister because they need you to help support them and they need you to stand up for them. And maybe our country and our culture wouldn't be so antagonistic towards Christianity if Christians would just do that. But we're so quick to laugh at the mistakes or the errors of other Christians, and we're so quick to condemn them and to shoot at them and to see them fail because it makes us feel so much better, I guess. I don't know. But we need to support one another and not be ashamed to associate with them. The third thing he gives us here, and this idea of don't back down, have some backbone and some courage. You simply don't hesitate to suffer for the gospel. And that's the second half of this verse when he says, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I think this third one is the biggie when it comes to why Christians lack a backbone. Is we're not willing. That word affliction, does that sound nice? I mean, after church, do you think I'll overhear a couple of people in conversation saying, man, I can't wait to go out tomorrow and suffer a little affliction at the hands of the pagans I work with? I don't think anybody's going to have that type of a conversation, are we? We don't ever look forward to afflictions. I mean, that's just nuts. And that kind of gives an idea of what our demeanor should be in public. We're not to be cross with people. We're not to be short-tempered. We're not to be unkind or uncompassionate. We're to love them and love them to Christ as best we can. Not backing down from the truth, not backing down from the gospel message, not watering it down or compromising in any way, standing strong on these principles and on the truths of that book, but nevertheless doing it in a very kind and loving manner. But even when we do that, affliction will come as a result from time to time. In fact, the Bible tells us that all that live godly will suffer persecution. Now, that doesn't sound very pleasant. But God says it's going to happen. He says expect it. He says it's natural, it's normal. That's what He's called us to do, to stand strong even in spite of that. Where would we be today if back in England, several hundred years ago, men and women weren't afraid to go to the stake for their faith in Christ, for their belief that the Word of God was available to all men. Because back in those days, the Roman Catholic system controlled the world. Kings and queens were set up or put down by the word of the Pope. He had his own standing army. Most people don't understand that, but he had his own standing army that all kings were afraid of. That's who went on the Crusades. And he brought in some of the other armies of the nations as well to go with them. But in England, where the Roman system said you cannot have the Word of God in your own language, the average man cannot read it. In fact, if you read Martin Luther's testimony, he was training to be a priest. And he wasn't allowed to have the Word of God. But somehow he got a hold of a Greek New Testament And he was forced to read it under the covers at night. And that's how he wound up coming across the passage in Galatians where it says, "The just shall live by faith," that led to his salvation. And he understood that the Roman system of sacraments was nothing but works and false and not getting anybody there. And it led to the Protestant Reformation. But where would we be if we didn't have this book? Because Christians were willing to give their lives, to suffer a little affliction for the cause of Christ. Well, let's go back even further than that. Go back to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, where Paul was breathing out threatenings. And before that, Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Paul causing all that havoc in the church, and they just had to scatter for their lives. And they took the gospel everywhere they went. The significant thing about them scattering, we might think, well, they were a bunch of sissies. They ran and fled from the affliction. But if they were such sissies, why did they preach the Word of God everywhere they went? You see, that was God's original intent for them. And they were disobedient by holding up in the city of Jerusalem together. God wanted them to spread, and so He rose up a man by the name of the Apostle Paul, well, by Saul of Tarsus at the time, to get them scattered. I'm glad they didn't go into a shell and say, well, I suffered a little affliction, or I saw Aunt so-and-so go to jail for this. So I'm just going to keep my mouth shut, and that'll be that, and I'll live an easy life. You see, if Christians through the centuries took that attitude, we wouldn't be here today. It's just that simple. And if we weren't here today, we'd be on our way to hell if we wouldn't be there already. The way I was living, I'm sure I wouldn't have lived this old. Wouldn't have happened. It's just God's miracle that I'm lived to even old enough to get saved. What I'm trying to say is what God is trying to say is don't back down. The next generation depends on it. We've already let this country slide way too far away from God. How much farther are we going to let it slip before we begin to speak up? Before we get a little bit of a backbone? How much do we really love the kids if we're not willing to have a backbone? And speak up for Christ so that the world won't get worse when they're our age, that there will be something to salvage. This is an important bit of advice for serving God. You'll never serve God faithfully if you'll back down. So God says, don't let your heart grow cold. God says, don't chicken out. And God says, don't back down. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for giving us this advice, this help, this counsel. Father, probably everyone in the room needs to hear this tonight, including myself. It's so easy to become complacent and just fit in and not make waves. But Father, sometimes You put us in a position where we need to make waves in order to speak up for You. Let us be willing to suffer the affliction should You call us to do that. But let us always do it in a Christ-like manner, with love and graciousness. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.